Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the Lord's Day. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And since it is the Lord's Day, we are here to worship. And what a beautiful day He's given us to do exactly that. Let's rise for worship, shall we? We are most privileged this morning to gather in God's house and under His grace. Let us begin our time of worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord. With my whole heart I seek you. I have stored up your word in my heart. Blessed are you, O Lord. With my lips I declare. I meditate on your precepts. I delight in your statutes.
I will not forget your word.
Please be seated. I invite you to rise. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that, relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may be ever defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
For this, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 3 through 9. Why have we fasted and you not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and then a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I choose? To lose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am."
This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading from the epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of the and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not thought by human wisdom, but thought by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of these, the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace,
mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a question. Who's going to be watching the Grammy Awards? Okay. Do you enjoy watching the Country Music Awards? How about the Golden Globe Awards? The People's Choice Awards? The Academy Awards? Well, I don't have to ask who's willing to admit it, obviously, by the response this morning. So I suppose at one time or another you have watched one of these extravaganzas on TV where celebrities walk the red carpet and dress like royalty in lavish and often outrageous apparel, pause to pose for the photographers who want to snap pictures of the VIPs who have come to be honored by their peers and admired by all the world. I always think about the Academy Awards. I don't watch it, but I've seen they have these red carpet shows where people parade themselves. And when you observe the buildup that takes place prior to the actual ceremony, you've got to wonder. You know, it seems like many of the folks attend that show in order to put on a show. Now, there might be those in the world who would find that to be a little bit judgmental. And I suppose it is, but I don't apologize. Nor do I limit my cynicism to the rich and shameless. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean rich and famous. I still remember going to church on Easter morning when I was a kid, watching as many of the ladies paraded down the center aisle dressed in their finest Easter apparel. It looked like a spring fashion show. Now, that probably sounds a little bit critical for those who grew up like I did in a church where everyone dressed up. But I don't think it is too critical. And while I had always been raised to dress appropriately for coming into the presence of the Lord, I couldn't help but miss how many of these well-appointed women spent more time comparing themselves to one another, looking back and forth across the aisle, than actually paying attention to the service, to the sermon, to the liturgy. Because it was all about putting on a show that morning. And that was and is most deserving of criticism. And I would say on this matter, I take my cue from my Lord Jesus. As you hear in this morning's text, Jesus was quite critical of the scribes and Pharisees, and of course, with good reason. These men were very well known for putting on a good show for public consumption. These religious leaders dressed the part, they played the part, they talked the part. The scribes and the Pharisees wanted to make sure everyone saw how righteous they were. But of course, Jesus saw them for who they really were. Jesus looked upon their hearts, and those hearts were anything but righteous. Yes, the scribes and the Pharisees took very good care of themselves, but they cared little for the sheep whom God had placed in their care. And so Jesus told them so. Jesus said of them, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." On this matter, Jesus does not mince his words. Jesus has no stomach for anyone who likes to put on a show. And so as we look at our text for today, we're left to wonder why. Why wouldn't Jesus tell us not to be like the scribes and the Pharisees? Why instead does Jesus say, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven"? Well, wait a cotton picking minute. Can Jesus be serious here? You will never enter the kingdom of heaven? Exactly where does that leave us? Well, I would think with a huge problem. St. Paul, to his letter to the congregation in Rome, writes this: "There is no one righteous, no, not one." Now we hear the scribes and Pharisees, and they were recognized for their righteousness of good works and for right living. And our righteousness must exceed their righteousness? If what the scribes and Pharisees did was not good enough for Jesus, what hope is there for us? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, does that make any sense at all? Either you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, or you are saved because of your works. So tell us, Lord, which is it? And of course, Jesus does. And what he tells us is so extraordinarily simple that even the smallest child can get it. In fact, I have come to learn that small children do a far better job of getting it than do we. Even many long-time and devoted Christians wrestle with what Jesus says here, because what he says really doesn't make any sense, not according to logic and human wisdom. It sounds far too simple, too good to be true. And that, of course, is because it is. Because it comes from the mouth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the embodiment of all goodness and truth. I have another important question now. Who here can be saved by what they do? Raise their hands. Whew. That's good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, good fellow Lutherans, none of us are saved by what we do. All our human righteousness, all the good works that we do to earn God's approval and other people's approval are filthy rags. Scripture tells us without faith in Jesus Christ, it is impossible to please him. And yes, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. But the scribes and the Pharisees and people like them today can't help but boast of themselves. They crave recognition for their good works. They do their good works in public in order to be seen by others. And of such, Jesus says, they have received their reward in full. And yes, they made their choice. They got exactly what they wanted here on earth, but nothing else. And that is because they believed themselves to be perfect and righteous. But they had failed to live up to God's perfectly righteous standards. If any one of those scribes or Pharisees, if any one of us could have lived up to God's standards, he would not have sent his son to save us from the doom that sin had brought upon us. But God did. Thanks be to God, he did. For God loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And his son gave up all of heaven's majesty and glory to come to us, to live and die, to redeem us, to pay for our sins. And that's because only he could do it. Jesus did what none of us could do. He fulfilled the law and he fulfilled it perfectly. Jesus took our place. He bore the Father's righteous wrath. Our guilt rested upon his shoulders. Jesus shed his own blood. Jesus laid down his own life for us. Jesus paid our wage in full. Jesus got what we deserve, and we get what we don't deserve. God's mercy and peace, which, my friends, is attained through faith alone. All sin was credited to him, and all his righteousness is given to us by grace and grace alone. So you want to talk about righteousness? Well, here it is. This is the righteousness which Jesus requires of us, the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, a righteousness that cannot be earned, his righteousness, a perfect righteousness, a gift to you from God the Father. And this gift is here today, a gift to be freely received. Whenever we gather, whenever a child is brought to this font, whenever you approach the altar to take your place at his table, it's that simple. And this is simple as well. His gift of faith calls upon us to follow in Jesus' example, an example of good works, by loving him with all our heart, by loving and serving our neighbor as Jesus loves and serves us, by honoring the law which Christ died to fulfill. For to this life God calls all who have been redeemed by the blood of his Son. Those good, fruitful works which are produced by faith are those works which are God-pleasing and righteous in his sight. That, my friends, is what makes you different. Different from all the world out there. You don't do what you do to put on a show. You don't do what you do to gain the world's approval. What you do not do to gain God's approval. What you do not do to be saved, but rather out of the joy that you are saved because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, what you and I cannot do for ourselves. And that, my friends, is what pleases God. That's what makes even the smallest work good, righteous and pleasing in the sight of God, because it is the work which is produced of Christ's righteousness in you. And by the way, this isn't only a Sunday morning thing. The psalmist writes, what you render to the Lord for all his benefits to you, you will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So yes, thanksgiving begins here in the church. And from here, we take that sacrifice of thanksgiving out into the world. All our thankful responses done in Christ's name are good works to the righteousness that is shown to us through Christ and by which we express it to others in his name. And that's what it's all about. And my friends, it's that simple. Because this is not about putting on a show. It is not about who you are or what you do. It is about who he is and what he has done for you. And this he has done. By his own shed blood, he has set you free from the bondage of sin, death, and hell. That, my friends, is love, the love of God. And God frees you to go out and show his love to all the world. That's all there is to it. It's that simple. Thanks be to God, it is. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, go out and do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.